man for a man. Right. Because I didn't have that father love and I didn't have that fatherness. So I didn't know. My mother was my everything. I met my father when I was 17 years old.
How did that happen?
Well, my father, my
you
life history.
You were the youngest of 10.
Uh-huh. And I'm the youngest of 10. My father went to prison when I was 2.
So he was in prison from the time you was 2 until 17?
Yeah, because he raped my sister back.
Oh.
Right.
So you that's my next trip.
You didn't know?
No.
I thought you did. I didn't know. Yeah, he raped my sister Pat. And he fondled Sheila. And quiet as it's kept, Sheila and Pat really believed he messed with Della, and she done suppressed it for so many years that that's why she got some stuff going on.
Anger.
And don't know what's going on because she don't want to remember that. Because when I was molested, I didn't want to remember it either. So I suppressed it and suppressed it. And I truly believe that's why I really used drugs and stuff. Because I wanted to numb the feelings that I was feeling. And the drugs did exactly that. So when I got rid of them, I feared the unknown as far as staying clean. And that's why I truly believe I stayed clean. Relapse is not even part of my story. It's because I did some work.
Right.
I did some work. I really did some work and found out what was really why I did not grow up and say I was going to be an addict. I did not grow up and say I was going to be a hoe. Because I was whoring before crack.
Maybe you just as a sexual being.
I think the molestation has a lot to do with that. Right? I think it had a lot to do with me being that person. I really do. And I just started messing around, girl. And it was really nice and professional. And I messed with married men or somebody that had something to lose. If you didn't have nothing, you were not getting anything from me. You had to have something. Even Duke. Duke was younger than me, and I didn't even know it. And he told me, I didn't go in his wallet to see how old he was. He was a big-ass Duke. And I thought he was older than me. Even him. He was good to me. He had something to lose. I really never messed with Quanice. As far as going in the woods down south and having sex in the cornfields and sex in cars, my parents, my sister said to me, if you going anywhere and have sex, you make sure you can go somewhere where you can wash your ass. Because you don't know what's going to happen on the way home and you don't want to be stinking.
I'm recording, Chuck. I'm recording, honey. Oh, hold on. So, can we wait? What's that?
He fixed the stairs right there. So with that being said, I didn't know cornfields and making love in the cars and stuff like that.
Teenage stuff.
I didn't do that.
So it's always been business.
It's always been business. It's always been business. Even when I started smoking crack, when I was living on Garden and Caper, I had firemen to come to my house that I tricked with. I even tricked with a cop. Using. Because that was before I got to the point where I was really fucked up. You know, when you first start, you don't get messed up right away. You know what I mean? Because I remember living on Bonner Street. And that's where I did it with Tim Petty, the one that died in the prison. I remember living on Bonner Street and going with him, and it was a mess over there, but I had got caught completely out at that time. I was gone. I was really gone. But I still was hoeing.
Even with Tim?
Oh, I was so scared of him. I was scared to hoe.
Oh.
Yeah, I was so scared. Oh, Lord. I was so scared of him. But remember, me and Tim broke up over there. So after me and him broke up, I started my shit back. Hoeing. So I don't care what anyone says. They said, I remember a lady said to me that she didn't have to trick when she was using, right? I said, well, let's not talk about what you didn't do. Let's talk about what you did do. You know what I'm saying? Because 9 times out of 10, if you drugs are tricking, go down.
Right.
It does. 9 times out of 10.
Especially as a woman, because what do you have? That's what women have always used to take care of themselves.
I even tricked with the drug dealers. I did. And then I had shared with Bridget a long time ago about I was tricking with one of the drug dealers. And she says, did they call you Miss Cherise?
Oh, Chuck.
Oh, Lord. She said, did they call you Miss Cherise? I said, nah, they ain't call me nothing. You know, because I used to trick with them too. So I just...
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, because I used to get mad and come over here and make
it bite it out. Oh, so my mom was cock blocking.
Yeah.
No, Ma, you could speak up.
Yeah, she was all that.
This is a multi-generational conversation. We have the grandmother, the nanny. How old are you?
62.
My mother.
46.
And I'm 28. I'll be 29 in 2 weeks, a week maybe. One of these, 10 days, something. Soon. So yeah, we got all different perspectives right here at this table.
Yeah, as far as life is concerned and dealing with life. And I've never been a ignorant, dumb child when it comes to books. Nor was I ignorant and dumb when it came to street life. I wasn't. I really wasn't. I had some smarts in kind of all areas of my life. I really did. And you know what's so funny about my life? I always had a good job.
Yeah.
Always was blessed with a good job, no matter what.
I'm not surprised by that, Virgo.
Always. I just don't, I you know, and I had to get the gab. I could get over, you know. I could really get over.
And talk your way out of some stuff and into stuff.
Check this out, girl. As far as my college education, right, I kept going to see my advisor for my thesis, and I kept going because I had to do a thesis. Mm-hmm. And she kept shooting me down, and she kept shooting me down. So listen, so I go to Nika, your mother, and I say to her, I'm not graduating in May. She says, why, Ma? I said, because I can't finish the thesis, right? So Kwan is, me and your mother took like 3 days off together. She only had Gabe. See, she had, Gabe was a baby. 2003. Mm-hmm. Right. And we took some time off from work. She lived in East Harvard over there, and you was going to Verde Point. Is that where she was going? No, she was going right there on Silver Lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were going on Silver Lane, and that's when I used to come pick you up, and you used to look at me and say, Nay, pretty soon I'm gonna be able to pick you up and lay you down.
So, you know, I probably was like my mother.
Yeah.
And saying some stuff. Yeah. And y'all made me be quiet.
Yeah.
I probably was.
Yeah, do you remember telling me that?
I don't remember saying that, but if I did say that, that sounded like something my mom said.
Because I was short. So I would come pick you up, and I would leave my car at the house and walk over there so we could walk home together. And you would always, when I walked, you always wanted to go to the little store across the street. So now we going to the little store, and you look at me talking, Nay, Nay, pretty soon I'm going to be able to pick you up and lay you down. That's knock my ass out, because you done got taller than me in a loving and caring way. Oh, boy. And we took a couple days, and we went over there, and Nika even called my advisor and talked to her, and we worked on, and not only did she accept it was good, and that was it. And I graduated that May. Mm. And then I had a friend I had met. Me and Chuck was together, but me and Chuck had broke up. So I had a friend I had met in New Haven, and he came to the house, and he was over to the house a lot at Sheila's. I was living with Sheila, and I give a good standing. Mm-hmm. Gibber didn't like him.
Didn't like who?
Dwayne was his name.
Oh, I remember him.
Gibber couldn't stand him. So anyway, I called Gibber. I knew Gibber didn't like him. I said, Gibber, I gotta get rid of him. He crazy as hell.
Oh yeah, and y'all packed this stuff.
Stuff and put it in Gibber's car. Gibber took him to New Haven, dropped him off, and I ain't seen him since.
Ooh, I seen him at the convention this year.
You lied.
So, how were your?
Because he went with us to the graduation up in Boston.
I have a question. How were your relationships different after being clean versus when you were using?
Because versus being clean, I'm a little bit more honest. Mm. And being clean it's not about what was done to me and I need to get you back. Because before I gotten clean, it was all about I need to get you before you get me. That's what it was all about. It was a street game. I was in this. It was
like a hustle.
Yeah, it's a hustle. Do or die. I get you before you get me. And when I gotten clean and did some work on myself, I wanted to be honest. And I wanted to be, I don't care how honest I get, that still doesn't mean people going to treat me the way I treat them. It doesn't mean that. But I don't have to get paid back for doing something to you that you did to me, because it's coming back to you, mm-hmm. regardless of who does it. And I don't have to get paid back for doing something to someone else. So that's what I think about now. And not to get religious or anything on you with the topic.
You could get religious.
But I need to always remember, when I'm doing something, I need to think about, what would Jesus do? Mm. You know, that's where I'm at now. I'm more spiritual than what I am anything else today. And I try to be more spiritual. And like, when something is going on, I sit down and I say, now, was that me? Or was that them? Was that me? Or was it something, they acting out of something I've done? Because like...
projection.
Yeah, because like, even before I retired or anything, I became a supervisor over at Blue Hills. And then I was a two at Capital Region, which means you, the ones under you, you supervise. And some of them were so nasty and so... because they would say, well, Sharice, we need this done, and this is what they need to do. And the ones under me, and I had to be careful how I relay that to them, because I'm not, you're not going to talk to me no any kind of way all day, every day. This ain't happening. So I needed to see how I could do this a little different. So I started doing things a lot different. It's different when you're in the supervisor position. And when you're supervising the ones or whatever, even some of the twos, they ahead too. But when you're supervising some of them, sometimes you got to remember they already don't like themselves. So when you don't like yourself, you can't like me.
Right.
So I had to, that book you showed me about loving myself.
Her book.
Your book mm-hmm. that you wrote mm-hmm. about loving myself. I can identify with that book, because in order for me to love Chance, my great grandson, I need to love me. Mm-hmm. In order for me to love my children, because when I first got clean, I had an issue that my kids were not going to accept me.
That's what my next question was. How did you how did you deal with shame and guilt?
I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of crying. I did a lot of writing. I did a lot of work with my sponsors. I've always had a sponsor. See, I'm getting teary-eyed now. I've always had to have a sponsor ever since I've gotten clean, due to the fact I was always there for my kids, Kwanis. My kids had some of the best of life. And when I started using at 33 years old, I hurt my kids. And I did some stuff to my kids using. I remember Sam, Brian, Mish, all kind of stuff up under the tree, because Nika had already left and went to Aunt Allison's house and her grandmother, and Mish was left with me. So, and I remember me and Misha being in a shelter together. And I remember them kicking me and Misha out the shelter at 2:00 in the morning because I got caught smoking. Mm. And they kicked us out. They didn't wait till daylight or whatever.
They kicked you out at 2:00 in the morning?
On Marshall Street, South Marshall Street. The Salvation Army women's shelter. Women and children's shelter on South Marshall Street. Yeah, and in the room, you had your own bathroom. And I'm in the bathroom trying to smoke. You understand what I'm saying? Bullshit like that. And Mish was big enough to remember that. So Mish had some issues. And I kept begging her to go to counseling. And she kept saying to me, you the one need the counseling. Which she was right. But little did she know, I was not only did I have a sponsor, I had a counselor as well. So my biggest problem in getting clean was, is my kids ever going to forgive me?
Right, forgiveness.
Are they ever going to forgive me for what I've done? And then I had to learn that in order for me to even accept the fact that my kids might forgive me, is that I need to forgive myself
first.
That
was my next thing.
Right. I need to forgive myself first. But I had a good sponsor. I had a sponsor that went through the same stuff. Jealous. She died. Mm. And she went through the same stuff that I was. They say when you get a sponsor, you need to get a sponsor that can identify with what you've been through so they can help you through it because they've been through it. And God bless me. I was in treatment. And on Wednesday night, you could come to Blue Hills out to an outside meeting. On Wednesday night, you could come there. Vivian used to come. Everybody used to come. Vivian helped me a lot as well. She did. Vivian died, and she didn't die from the virus, but she helped me a lot, too. And just wanting my kids to forgive me for what I've done. And once I was able to, like, forgive myself, you know, the devil is always working. Some more stuff would come up. And doubt me.
You know, I wanted to say that I remember, I don't remember what house it was, but I always remember looking on your dresser. And it made me think, but it made me think about, I always seen that book, Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. And I read that book today, but just that book was, yeah.
So I had to do a lot of work. I did a lot of work. And I still have to do a lot of work. You know, people think, you know, I'm okay. And I'm doing okay. Praise God. But I didn't get here by osmosis or somebody else's stuff. I went through a lot to get to where I am today. I really did. That's why when I retired, I tried to enjoy myself. Because really in my brain, my kids was everything to me. And it was hard. Because they used to come to the... On Saturday, Nika used to come up and see me. On Sunday, Mish used to come up and see me. On Sunday, Mish would come, Nika would come. On Saturday, Mish would come. Either every weekend, I had both of them would come and see me. But deep down inside, I knew they were still angry with me. I knew they was because I did some. I wasn't a good mother. Once the drugs took over, I wasn't a good mother. As a matter of fact, Mish even told me later on that her father went to Auntie Sheila and had Auntie Sheila come and get her from Capon Street because her father told Auntie Sheila that I was selling her to the drug dealers for drugs. And she said, but she told him, no, my mother, no, I don't care what you say about my mother. My mother. Matter of fact, them drug dealers, if they see Misha out with the rest of the girls trying to hang, they would bring Misha home. They wouldn't even let her hang out. They would bring her home and, you know. But, Misha had some real bad issues because she don't have a program. Nika ended up getting the program, and so quite sure she had to work. She had to go to counseling. She had a sponsor, and she had to go through some stuff with her mother being an addict and some stuff I had done to her. She needed to work through that, but Misha didn't have anyone. Matter of fact, right now, her doing that social work thing has brought me and her closer and closer than ever before from me using drugs. That social work degree has done tremendous work for her.
And I tell her all the time, I say, God, you can run, but he gonna end up being in a place where you're not gonna be able to run and you're gonna have to get the healing. So you wanted something and that was that degree. You gonna have to go through that. And all the things you're going to be doing with everybody else, you're going to have to do it yourself. And he's going to make sure of that.
Because if you ain't gotten rid of some stuff I've done to you, and you ain't did some healing, and you ain't got through the side, how can you help somebody else when you can't even help yourself?
Right.
So, and same went for me at Capital Region, working with the patients and stuff, and doing what I do now, sponsoring women. You know, I got some CDs. You should hear a couple of them. It talks about me. It talks about my kids. It talks about how I fucked Misha up. And she was so fucked up, she couldn't even hold a job. And she had no clue why she couldn't hold one. None whatsoever. Until she went through the social work program. To see that she was messed up from me on them drugs. But a lot of people don't know that. Any more questions?
So
I would have ate some tissue, but maybe you need to cry.
Yeah, but probably do.
Ma, you got any input?
No, I'm just listening.
Come on. Yeah, like you know, when I first got clean, Every meeting I went to, they would send you with me.
I talked about it in my book.
Every meeting, they would send you with me. But the reason they would send you with me, because they would let me hold their car. So they ain't trust me. And look, but check this out.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah, they ain't trust me. So they sent you because they knew you was going to tell it. Because remember, I went to the package store and you came back and told me.
So I've been telling in school.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah. That's Albert. I was saying.
See, y'all put a muzzle on me.
Told on your dad too.
How old was I, Ma?
About 3.
I was 3 years old, and my mother was in treatment. And what happened, Ma?
And you came to see me on one weekend. I think Nene brought you. And but you waited until we was alone to say it. Like you knew.
I did.
That it was something that you shouldn't say around everybody else. And you said, Daddy got a girlfriend.
Been into it.
And as much as I wanted to leave that place right then and there.
You ain't
with me. My ride.
With my ride.
Right. All I had to do was go get my clothes. Because I wasn't caught up on it.
So why didn't you leave though?
Because I knew getting the help that I needed was more important than anything that he
So you was able to control yourself.
I was. And did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you
But she was already controlled before you told her that. Because she, quite naturally, you said to yourself, no matter what, this time I'm getting this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the program
and
teaches you.
And he was a drug dealer. Yeah. I was struggling with that the whole time. If you got a problem with drugs, you can't go back and live in a house where they at. So that was my answer.
Yeah.
So what happened when you got out?
She was done with him.
You was done with him.
So Nene and Bridget picked me up, and we went over to the house on Vine Street.
Got all your stuff.
Wait, you must have forgot. So when we got in the hallway, I smelled a weed, opened up the door, and he was in there with the girl in bed.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what happened, Nene?
Oh, that was it. Oh, we had to. Woo. Lord, we had to stop her.
You had to stop her.
I don't even think we got to close him.
I don't know.
No, the girl got up and left, and you still got your stuff.
They jumped out the window.
Yep.
They jumped out the window.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Because they couldn't get out of the room. The room only had one way out.
Right.
There was a window and a door.
Right.
And you was blocking the door.
Yes. Sure did.
That's Rocky.
Yep, sure did.
Nene, was you like that?
Oh yeah,
you was angry, angry.
I wasn't angry. I really wasn't angry, but I would give you my all, but don't take it and use me. That's all. Just don't take it and use me because I'm not stupid, and don't keep telling me it's gonna be different and it's gonna be better. And I try to believe you saying that, and then you keep doing the same old shit. You know If you read the Bible, Kwanis, you know, Jesus got mad.
Yeah.
And turned over some tables and stuff.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was human.
Yeah. Yeah. So he got mad and turned over some tables and stuff. So why cannot?
I think that religious speaking too, I feel like that, especially being my experience recently being in the church and stuff like that, certain emotions and stuff, they act like you can't have, like you just said, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And people skip that part that he had a period where he was weak and had anger as well. We're humans, so we're not always going to be perfect.
We're never going to be perfect. Matter of fact, don't even think you're going to be perfect because you're wasting too much energy on trying to be perfect, something you're never going to be. But you try to be better today than what I was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not striving for perfection, for purpose, trying to be perfect. I'm not striving to be that. But I just try to be better each and every day. And as I get older, I get better. Like my sister Pat, I went to her house for Thanksgiving. And she didn't treat me the way I felt something. She just didn't treat me the way I thought I should be treated.
Yeah.
And I talked about it.
What is it?
Poo-poo.
We're recording.
You better stop it. So, pause it. You know how to pause it? Oh. So, you got to talk. How you feel?
Me?
Yeah, how you feel about what we talking about?
I'm sorry.
You do? Do you remember a lot of the stuff? You know? You know, I tell people, you know, I didn't even start using until I was about 33. And I remember going to treatment at 38. It seemed like longer than that, though, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Because when you graduated from high school, I was still working. But you know what happened? Yeah, because when you... Remember I had to go up to Harper High? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tell the people... And I'd come up with that lie. But it really wasn't a lie about your grandfather died and you was out from your grandfather.
It was definitely a stretch, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe what? Maybe about 32 I started using? 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. It was longer than that, though. It seemed like it was longer than that. But it's about 30-something. In 88. How old was I in
1988?
31, 30? Yeah. 30, 31. Yeah, that's why I left Pratt & Whitney in 88. Because they told me in 1988.
Why did you pass Pratt & Whitney?
I get a pension from them right now.
Yeah.
But what happened was I had started using, but I hadn't left the job and I was working on and off. And it was 1988. That they said to me, I either need to quit the job and get my pension when I reach 55, or they was going to fire me.
Okay.
In 1988, I was 31 years old.
So that's when you left, 1988.
In 1988, I left Pratt & Whitney. Okay. So 88 and 1996, I got clean.
Mm.
So how long was I really out there?
8 years. And how did you, how did you get clean? What happened, what transpired that led to you getting clean? After leaving your job after 8 years and being out there.
Well, even after I left that job, I still went back and did some CNA work, and I was using, doing CNA work and going to people's house and cooking and cleaning. And if they had me, one dude house that had a drug dealer right upstairs, so I would love for them to send me to his house because I could, you know, get high and do the work. And, you know, once I got high, I was busy. I need to do something. I need to clean and do some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's the type of high person I was. I wasn't a lazy high person. But anyway.
Knock me out.
Yeah.
I want to go to sleep.
But anyway, I got clean. I got busted. Now, this is what Fred shared with me, Fred Johnson. He said,
tell me about your busted.
I am.
Okay.
He said, one night they was at the meeting down at Open Heart. And said, Nika was down there and she was crying. And said, my mother's in jail in New York. And my mother is so strong personality and so into herself. My mother ain't gonna never get clean. She ain't listening to nobody. I don't care. Nobody says she's not gonna do it. And so she was crying for help, you know. And the reason she was in there crying because my mother had got busted in New York because I used to transport drugs.
She used to transport drugs.
And I transported drugs from 1994. Till I got busted in 1996. And I went to New York 3 times a week. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Transporting drugs.
I'm talking about bricks.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm talking about bricks. one time I even took her with me. She'll tell you she went with me. Speaking Spanish.
Dominicans.
Ooh.
Not to glorify it, but.
Yeah.
The Dominicans?
Yeah. And I'm talking about the money. Look, we would have the money in the shoebox. And I would make sure I get Nika money for it. They would already give me money for a leave, and I would give it to her. And I would go in the shoebox and steal some money and give it to her.
Oh, you were stealing more?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting mine. I'm getting mine right off the top.
She said she dared it off the top. Yeah.
And check this out now. If I got bricks, you can't go in it.
Right.
But if you get a brick and a half, they halfen it up and I can go in it. Mm-hmm. I pull over and go in that too on the way back.
Yeah.
She used to make. Yeah. Nika had it going on.
They loved us too.
Yeah.
And I was young.
Yes. And she was young and could speak Spanish and everything. Yeah. And the dude.
Come back?
Yeah. 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 And I went 3 times a week.
And so
and
what?
And then somebody was talking about robbing me.
Okay.
Because they knew I was transporting for Bullock. Mm-hmm. So someone was talking about robbing me and they said it to Small Fry. Small Fry called me and told me to call Bullock that he needs to come here right now to my house. Mm-hmm. And Bullock came to the house and Small Fry shared to Bullock that they planned on robbing me the next trip I take.
So
what me and Bullock did was, I think Miss Carol had something to do with that because she went with me a couple times as well. And she seen all that money. So what we did is, I couldn't fuck with Bullock. I couldn't fuck with Miss Carol no more. So what we did after that is we would meet up at the airport where he would rent the car from. Now, the whole time me using, right, mm-hmm. they never let my license get suspended.
Yeah.
Never. Because uh-huh. with no license, I can't transport.
Right.
So we would go up to the airport and get the car. We would do all the trips, the money and everything. We'd ride up the street to the bowling alley up there at the airport. You know they got the bowling alley up there. Yeah, that same bowling alley up there. We would go up there. And you know they got the Friendlies up there. We would stop there. And they would give me he would give me the money and everything. And we would always get from that point on, we would always get a car with a New York license plate. So, and I would never go the same way nor come back the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, I would go one way and come back the other way. We had to outsmart them. And so when I came back, we didn't go back to the airport with all those drugs. We used to meet over there by Chowder Pot.
Okay, I remember you telling me that.
Yep.
So what happened on the trip? What happened on the trip that you got busted? How was that trip different from all your other trips?
Well, how it was different was the
Did
people
you know
that
was gonna get busted?
No, the people that Nika knew and that we knew didn't have anything else. So Bullock done got a new connection.
Oh, so you didn't know the new people that was.
So he went with me to introduce me to the new connection.
The new connection. The connect. The plug, baby.
Right. And when we get down for him to introduce me to the new connection.
You got grandsons?
I'm playing.
Who got grandsons? Of course sure they do by now. I got 24 years clean. So when he took me down and introduced me to the new connection, right? Uh-huh. That's when we got busted. Me and Bullock was together.
Oh, so wait. Oh, yeah, because you got locked up in New York because you was in Rikers and he got locked up too. It was the two of y'all.
Right.
So the new connect was a setup?
I truly believe it was a setup. Yeah, I truly believe it was a setup. I truly believe them Dominican, and they were Dominicans. But we used to get, me and Nika used to go to 187th in Amsterdam.
Like they be rapping about in the songs.
187th in Amsterdam?
Yeah. The Dominicanos.
Yeah. But check this out. The new connection was at 181st in Amsterdam. Not too far from the police precinct.
So how was Rikers Island in
it? Well,
how long was you there?
I was downtown Central Booking for 2 days.
Okay.
And I had cigarettes and everything.
Uh-huh.
And you could smoke in jail at that time.
In your cell or?
Yeah. Yeah. They let you have your cigarette. You smoke as much as you want. You had your pack. I had a couple of packs in my pocket. Girl. I don't know why.
But, a couple packs of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. But, because I guess cigarettes were so high in New York. So I just took me a couple of packs. And I think Bullock stopped to get some gas, and he bought me a pack out, not knowing I already had some on the way down.
So you was in there comfortable a little bit initially, because you had your cigarettes, and you was not in Rikers yet.
No, I wasn't comfortable. I wasn't comfortable. We had got busted with 4.5 bricks.
Mm. So I wasn't comfortable. So off the rip, when they was arresting you, how did you feel? Like, how was that? Do you remember that process? Was
yeah, they had me down on the ground on the road.
And your knee in your back?
No, hold? They didn't have a knee in my back, but they had me down on the ground.
The New York style chokehold?
I don't know what they had, but I was down on the ground, face down, bull up too. And I ended up in Central Booking downtown. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 2 days. And they called me at 2 o'clock in the morning to night court. And that's real in New York, night court.
Oh, you had court at nighttime at 2 o'clock in the
morning? 2 o'clock in the morning. I went to court. And they continued it.
They continued the case, so you had to stay and wait.
They continued it, so then they shipped me to Rikers Island.
So.
And I was at Rikers Island for 4 days. And remember now, I smoke crack, so I ain't weighing about 90 pounds soaking wet.
You was in there fighting
in there? I was, this girl gonna tell me I was on the phone. And this girl gonna tell me, you need to hurry up and get off the phone because it's a certain time I need to make my phone call. I said to her, well, if you knew the certain time you need to make your phone call, you should have had your name up on the list a little earlier so you could be here on that certain time. Right now it's my fucking phone call and I'm not getting off till my 15 minutes is up. And I had the phone in my head. I was getting ready to bust her.
Oh, man, they was turned like that?
Yeah, I was getting ready to bust her ass, but guess what Chuck said? Chuck said, if I'd have broke them people falling out the wall, so all of them would have killed you.
Oh, yeah, it would have been a riot.
Chuck said it would have been a riot if I'd have broke them people falling out the wall. But see, I ain't know that part. But listen, I'm getting ready to take that phone. I'm going to move that girl ass with that phone because look, ain't nothing happening now. Come on now. Because I already know once you go to jail, you got to defend yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be half stepping up in the air because then you just be the punk of the cell. You know? Yeah, yeah. And the good part about it is I had my own cell.
You was on the news and everything.
Huh?
You was on the news and everything. Yeah.
But that was a different bus.
Oh.
That was a different bus, Colin. Oh, that was a different bus, Courtney.
It was. You got busted twice?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the same time, right after each other. Good. All right. Okay, so now.
So your 4 days in Rikers Island.
My 4 days in Rikers Island. They finally. But
you were making a point about Fred.
Oh, yeah, Fred.
Oh,
saying
yeah.
Saying you could never.
Okay, well. So check this out now. I get out of Rikers Island. She and them let me out.
Auntie Sheila came to bail you out.
Auntie Sheila came to bail me out.
Nobody else wanted to come?
Well, what happened is, Small Fry,
oh,
Bullock Brother,
they was all trying to get him out.
Came up with money. No, they got me out. They didn't get him out. They got me.
Because he wasn't getting out.
Yeah, because he couldn't get out.
Okay.
But I ended up claiming the stuff. So, and he, but anyway, they came. They gave Sheila the money and everything, and they came and got Sheila came and got me. And she didn't come and got me. What she did was she went to a guy I know, a bondsman that I used to get all them out with, Mr. Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to Mr. Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins found the bondsman in New York, and they transpired everything together and released me. So when they released me, all I needed to do was to go to the train station and give them a code. And Sheila gave me the code to give the people at the train station. And they gave me a ticket, and I got on the train and came to Connecticut. But my belongings were still at Rikers Island because they released me from court downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got released, now I come back home, and No, that wasn't the time Nika talked to Fred and them. Not that time. It was the second time I come home. Mm-hmm. And
went back to the same.
I went back to the same shit.
You know, we gotta do that sometime.
I went back to the same shit.
Hard headed, I am.
And this time they bust me. I'm on the news and everything.
Okay, that's the
and
one I
that's
remember.
That's when she was at the open heart crying about my mother is back in jail once again. And my mother ain't gonna never get clean. And Chris Lyon. Chris Lyons, he came to me. Remember, I told you I used to trick with a cop. Mm-hmm.
And he said what?
This is the cop.
And what he say?
He says, Cherise. Yeah, he says, Cherise, I used to trick with him. He got a baby by a black girl from Infant Street. He says, Cherise, I know this is not your stuff. He's saying, I know you got arrested in New York and you on 5 years probation.
Oh, so you got probation from that. So you got busted again on probation.
On probation.
Dang. Okay.
Which I would have had to go upstate and do 5 years. So Chris Lyons says, Cherise, he said, I got a deal for you. Mm-hmm. He said, you let me know exactly what's what and what's going on. I said, well, because they found 4 Tech Nines in my house. Which was Lil Chuck that Kwame used to mess with. I mean, Tamisha used to mess with.
Oh.
And they both Chuck had Chucks. Yeah.
Damn, y'all all had Chucks.
And
y'all like Chucks.
And he said, now you let me know exactly what's really, really going on. And I said, none of that stuff belonged to me. None of it. He says, I know. He says, as a matter of fact, they just kicked Lil Chuck's door down now. He just kicked his door down. And they got him. He said everything in the house was yours. The Tech Nines and everything. I looked at Chris. I said, now, do you really believe I got some Tech Nines? He says, no, I don't. He said, we tore the door down. He said, I don't want you to go back to that house. I don't even want you to go back to Enfield Street. He said, right now, the best thing you can do is go to treatment and get your life together. And you need to thank God because I know you got 5 years probation in New York. He says, and when you go to court this morning, because this was that night, you came to see me. When you go to court in the morning, I'm gonna recommend this for you, and they're gonna give you 2 years to get in no trouble, and they'll throw it out, and New York will never find out that you ever been arrested, so you ain't got to worry about them 5 years. He said, but you got to promise me you're not going back to Enfield. You're not going back to Capitol Street. You're not going around none of them people. He says, and this between me and you, I said, I promise you. When I left there, I went straight to Charles and Mary and Marriott, what her name? Who Charles?
Marriott.
And I need to get some clothes and stuff. That's why I went to them, because I had some clothes at our house from before. So I went to Charles and Mariella house, and I called Duke. And I asked him to come take me to, and look, and Mariella didn't have none of my clothes, nothing.
She sold it?
I don't know. She didn't have nothing.
Because I knew she couldn't fit it.
She didn't have nothing, right?
Probably took them.
So I called Duke. I called Duke, right? And Duke came, and I called, and so Duke's. He was talking John, so I called Sheila. Sheila said, Cherise, I'm tired. I'm always running. I'm tired. I just came to New York and got you out. I'm tired. And if I don't stop, you ain't going to never stop.
So she didn't come get you.
So she came, but by the time she came, Duke had already came. Mm-hmm. Duke took me to treatment, and he stopped by a store and bought me some cigarettes and a roll of quarters and took me to treatment. And the next day, Duke had went to Bradley. Bradley's used to be open back in the day. Duke went to Bradley's and bought me some underclothes, some bras, some sneakers, some socks, some clothes, and everything, and brought it to Blue Hills, and they would not let him give it to me, but they kept it for me. So when I got ready to leave, but they couldn't give it to me because at that time you had to stay in them paper slippers and your house coat. And Blue Hills... Matter of fact, I wasn't even at Blue Hills. I was at ABRC. But Because ADRC used to be where Blue Hills is. And Blue Hills was across the street where Capital Region was. Remember when y'all come to visit me? So I left ADRC and went across the street. And I've been clean ever since. And I never shared with nobody how I beat that case. Now check this out.
By going to treatment.
Right. And Chris Lyons. Mm-hmm. Now, when it was time for me to go
that
to court.
That was a favor. That was the cop that came to your house and you had a relationship with him. Because if it was anybody else, this whole shit would be different.
Would be different. Right. Now check this out. Now, when it was time for me to go back to court for my 2 years, right? Guess who went to court with me?
Who?
Chuck.
Oh no.
By this time I had met Chuck.
Oh.
And my 2 years was up.
Oh.
Yeah. And Chuck went to court with me downtown. He said, I'm not going to courthouse. I ain't doing that. I ain't going
I ain't going inside,
that.
But I dropped it.
Yeah. Oh no. And I went to court. And I just been and my sponsor shared with me. She says, through your whole process, don't ever tell anybody you're on probation for 5 years. Don't tell anyone.
Because they will do something to try to make you,
go back. And you need to be glad that you didn't end up going to jail and getting busted on Enfield Street. Because that was in the news and everything.
So now, at this point in your recovery, you have how many years clean?
24.
And now what do you do?
I just do meetings and...
Well, I'm saying, how do you give back?
I sponsor women. I share all over the place. When they call me, I go and I share my story. I share my experience, my strength, and as I every day, my experience is different. Because just because I got clean, that doesn't mean that I still don't go through some stuff. But I go through it completely different from what I would have before I've gotten clean. Because I still go through stuff. I'm really blessed. I'm retired. I got a good damn retirement. I make about $65,000 a year sitting at home doing nothing. Sometimes I substitute and I try to make about $10,000 a year. And that's my that $10,000 a year is my traveling money to go to state. Because I be at conventions. If you look at my Facebook page, I'm always at a convention. Mm-hmm. Sharing. And people... How people call me, I don't even know.
But how your number has been the same for 100 years.
Yeah, but I don't even know how people, I guess when I share, like I was the main speaker in North Carolina Beaches in March. Mm-hmm. So some people got my number when I spoke in North Carolina. So as soon as that convention was over, before Corona got real bad, I was supposed to speak in Dayton, Ohio, the Saturday women's rep in Dayton, Ohio, July 4th of this year. But they canceled it because of Corona. And not only that, I was also supposed to speak in Charleston, South Carolina in April. Like the 4th of April or something, I was supposed to speak there. So that's how people keep getting your number. I would say to her, "Ooh, I heard so-and-so speak and they got off or whatever." And that's how they keep asking me. And I just go and I just share and share and share. And the more I go and share, and I get honest when I share. Yeah. And I have not shared anywhere, ever. And when I finished sharing, the line was out the door. Trying to get my phone number and hug me and ask some questions. The line, and I'm talking about this mostly women. A lady came to me one day and she said, "How do you share about your molestation among all these people and you don't even know them?" I said, "You got to start writing so you can get there." Because it ain't about what happened to me.
Right.
It's about what I do with what happened to me now.
Yes.
Right. Because all that stuff happened to me. I need to let that go and take it.
Right.
And incorporate it so I can help someone else. Because everybody ain't where I'm at with talking about it.
Right.
Every woman ain't talking about how they mistreated their kids. Mm-hmm. Every woman ain't talking about how DCF came and took their kids. I talk about it all the time. I said, look, DCF ain't gonna take my kids. Because I remember your mother telling me. I don't know if she remember it. But I remember it to this day on Garden Street. I remember your mother saying to me, "Mom, if you don't get your life together, I'm going to take Quarnice and you're never going to see her again."
Sound like some Scorpio stuff.
Everybody telling me that.
I've said some things like that.
And check this out. And I was saying, I got to get myself together. I got to get myself together. I'm never going to see my granddaughter again. She's really going to take my granddaughter. And sure enough, and I started praying, God help me, God help me. And next thing I knew, I woke up in Rikers Island. Mm.
You ask God to help you. I don't know how he's going to help you.
That's right. That's right.
And that.
And Rikers Island, I was scared clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got the show called Scared Straight. I was scared clean before Scared Straight even came out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what is the... What would you want people to take away from your testimony?
No matter what you've been through, and no matter how bad it looks, and no matter how bad it gets, you just gotta have faith, cause it can get better. But you gotta want it to get better. You can't. I can't want a job. But I sit in the house all day long.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
You gotta do the action part.
You gotta do the action part. Right. Cause I remember a guy saying to me when I was working at Blue Hills. I was running a group, and I was sharing a little bit of my story, and I said to him, I said to the group, I says, no matter what, I says, you can always move forward. And it was a Puerto Rican dude. You know what he said to me? He said, Miss, my life, he said, my jail record is longer than your life, and you talking about how old you are. He said, I got HIV. He says, so why should I straighten up? What's going to be different? I'm going to die from HIV. I got a jail record where ain't nobody ever going to give me a job. So what's going to be different? I said, because I work here right now, and I got two felonies. I said, suppose they come out with a cure for AIDS tomorrow.
Right.
Suppose they come out with a cure.
Excuse me. Suppose they come out with a cure for AIDS tomorrow? You said?
Yeah. And you went out on OD tonight. And you missed the cure.
Don't quit before the miracle.
Yeah, don't quit before the miracle happens.
You
gotta
get drugs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, that was awesome. And
hold on. Chance. My 2-year-old. that was good to you know, to hear. And It was good.
And at the end of my story, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you're recording right now, the end of this story is...
They could hear you.
The end of this story is that this morning I woke up. My two daughters has a relationship that's awesome. My granddaughter has I have a relationship with all of my grandchildren. Something that I dreamed of. I am one of the happiest women it is in the world. And money ain't doing it.
The person who was focused on money and chasing and the most successful, and now that ain't even your focus, and you got everything you've ever wanted.
Okay.
That's right. My family.
You ain't eat all that.
All right, y'all. That was it.
You ain't eat all them noodles.
Next time. I'm out.